Welcome back to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. You guys can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. And if you were wondering why this episode came out late, it's probably because you don't follow me. We did this episode live on my Instagram. So as you listen to it, me and Danielle are kind of talking about some of the struggles that we felt to be of service in this sort of disassociated and disconnected culture. And so that's what the conversation is. We didn't have an agenda in this conversation. We just wanted to talk openly about what we're seeing, what we're feeling, and how we're feeling the best way to contribute is. There are moments throughout the interview where we're messing with the Instagram live or whatever. I'm not going to edit those out, but they're pretty brief. For the most part, this conversation just kept rolling all the way through to the end. So thanks for checking it out. Without further ado, onto the show. So I don't know how many people will join in on this. Of course, if you're just listening to it, the audio version, or if you're watching it, let's say the audio version will be available on my podcast channel, Morning Coffee with Rick Alexander, basically available on all platforms right now. And then I think it'll be available on Instagram for the next 24 hours. So as all of this sort of unfolded over the last few weeks, I was feeling more and more... You know what I was feeling is as I was, you know, as a content creator, I'm always thinking of like, I'm always thinking of like, what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? Like, do I want to be culturally relevant? Like, there's all of these things that you're balancing. And I've been feeling the need to say less and less as more and more of this has unfolded. And then I've sort of reached this point where I'm in a very contemplative state and I'm like really looking around and I'm just trying to take it all in. And you brought up this term, cultural disassociation. And so I think since that's what we're doing the podcast on, probably the first thing that we want to talk about is like, what is cultural disassociation?
So when I hear that word or when I say that word, it makes me think of disconnection in some sense. So when you dissociate from yourself, right, something has happened that your awareness has shifted away from that thing. And so you're disconnecting from your body, your awareness. And so that is a coping mechanism for a lot of trauma, basically. So at a cultural level, I feel like what we're going through right now is a form of trauma because I feel like not a lot of people have the skills and the coping mechanisms to handle something this big because I even talked to my parents, like my parents haven't even experienced something like this in their lifetime. And so when we kind of talk about it on that type of level, I feel like cultural dissociation is not understanding and disconnecting from your part of the actual whole. And I think that that can happen on a personal level. And I think when it happens to a bunch of people on a personal level, it can happen culturally. And I think that's personally what I'm feeling right now is a disconnection from everybody. It feels like the energy feels very chaotic right now. And I think in order to get connected back to self and get connected back to your part as a whole, the best thing to do is ground yourself and get quiet, right?
Right, totally. Because like what's happening right now is we're seeing more and more noise. And so as things are becoming more and more chaotic, like if you look at our world right now, essentially how we've learned to live is to elevate our volume, right? We really focus on getting louder instead of improving our argument. And if you go to market, I mean, I think I'm aware of this because as an entrepreneur, I'm always thinking about how to market, how to reach the right people, how the right people will reach my message. And what we're told, like the way that it's modeled is that you just get louder, you get above the noise, right? That's what everyone's trying to do. And we're seeing the shadow of that behavior right now, because as you try to get above the noise, you're actually creating more of the problem. But what I what I do think is worth mentioning here, which is a silver lining to this. So you can think of culture as an organism, as one thing, right? Like, as if we're all we're connected by this thing that we call culture, and this informs our thoughts, it informs our actions. Our culture clearly informs our actions, because it's zombie land out there right now, right? Like, there's nobody out there. And so I think one of the silver linings to that phenomenon, though, is that right now we are our culture is global. And so right now we are experiencing problems that people in Italy are experiencing and people in Spain are experiencing. And so all over the world, we're feeling this trauma together. And so I think that right now, look, if you follow my message, a lot of your message, we talk a lot about becoming the absolute best version of ourselves. And in my mind, we do that. The reason you go down that path is because if we don't, first of all, we don't know how to contribute, right? Like, we can't be good for other people if we can't be good for ourselves. So as we learn more about ourselves and we gain more self-awareness, we gain the ability to contribute. So what I'm feeling is, as this culture goes in through this flux right now, because we are feeling this cultural trauma, I don't feel like myself, my individuality is important at this moment in time. I feel like what I'm being called for by the trauma that we're going through in the culture is actually that I shut the hell up. And are you experiencing something similar to that? Do you want to elaborate on that so people can kind of figure out where we're going with this?
Well, I think from the physiological standpoint, right? What's going on is, like I said, it feels like a lot of chaos to me, but what I think is going on is that people are sensing emergency. And so when emergency is happening, a lot of, you know, that animalistic brain is being turned on. And so people don't necessarily have that space between reaction and response. And so the more that the amygdala gets triggered and turned on, it starts to downregulate, and you are just starting to basically get anxious.
Right.
And so it's a lot of energy being built up within yourself. And so for me, a lot of the times when I'm working with anxious people or people who have anxiety, my job isn't to tell them my experience or like push my agenda on them or push anything on them. My job is to be a mirror for them and to sit back and listen. And I think a lot of people are pushing their stuff out into the world, and it's like, I don't know if that's what we need right now.
Yeah, because, you know, at first, and listen, I'll be super honest here. Like, at first, right, when I first heard of this pandemic thing begin, the first thing I said, like, is, listen, 70,000 people a year die of the flu, and like two people have died of this, right? Mm-hmm. Totally talking out of my ass, because I don't know anything about infectious disease, right? Not really. I mean, I was a medic, but like, definitely don't know anything about zoonotic disease, right? And so I was just horrified when I saw that Trump tweeted the exact same thing. And I just realized, though, it's like, I don't fucking know about this. Like, truly, I don't. And neither does Trump. Like, neither does anybody.
Neither do I.
Right? There are certain people that have dedicated their life to this, you know, World Health Organization workers, healthcare workers, mm-hmm. infectious disease specialists. And I think, you know, when things get chaotic, what you really need is calm, collected, straight talk, right? Because you can see that the polarities are existing now. People that don't know anything are just spewing word vomit and their opinion out into the world. And so what you're seeing is the people that are cold. Nothing's happening. It's not that big of a deal. You're being ruled by fear, right? And then you see the other polarity, and it's like everything is wrong. It's like, no, actually, there's just an issue that we need to take care of. And so what is that asking of us? It's asking that we lay down our individual identities for a minute and we come together for the globe so that we can put this thing to rest as soon as possible. And my hope is that, you know, in that, the silver lining is we actually see the futility in how much money and time we spend fighting each other. Like, that's the first thing I thought, is like, all of a sudden we have a common enemy. And, you know, our culture defines belonging by who we're against, not what values we're for most of the time. It's like, oh, I'm not them, so I'm against them. Our countries do it. not everybody, but it's definitely a prevalent theme in our culture. So finally, we have something we're all against. And so now we find belonging in this global community. And so my hope is that, like, we see the importance of people that dedicate their life to studying. Dude, I mean, like, the guy that went on Rogan that I listened to, he spent his entire life studying coronavirus. It's like, and now it's time. Like, that's the time. Yeah, it's like, it's your time. That's the guy we need right now, you know?
Totally.
And so, you know, I think one of the things is, like, I'm feeling this call toward leadership in my own life and the content that I create. And I look around the world and I see a real lack of leadership. And this was pre-pandemic going down. And now what I'm seeing is the real, real, like, where the rubber meets the road and where you really need straight talk, good leadership, even keel people to just say, hey, like, this is what's wrong. This is what we need to do about it. And so, you know, what's going to happen in opportunities, though, where things go wrong is it creates, you see a lot of people that have been patterned a way to live in the world. They get really loud about the way that they market, the way that they do things, and you're seeing them become super opportunistic right now. And so I want to talk a little bit for you, like, we're both running online businesses. This is our time to shine, right? Like, even going live on here, like going live on Instagram right now, I was thinking, it's like, every single trainer that I've seen is, like, offering Zoom things all day. I'm like, how many fucking, like, Zooms can people be on, right? It's like, and so how are you approaching finding that dance between producing, offering your service to the world? Because that's really, in times of chaos, that's what you want to do, is you want to offer your, you want to stay in your swim lane. It's like, right. I want to talk about the things that I can talk about. And so how are you handling that dance?
I think for me, I have to, like, I probably check in maybe 4 or 5 times a day. Like, what is your role here? You know, my role here is not to scream free home workouts for people. That is not my swim lane. I don't do home workouts. For the people that are my clients, I am absolutely going to adjust their programs, give them what they need. I'm launching a program. I'm modifying it for the people who are signing up. But my job is not to be someone screaming free stuff, or manipulating them into, you know, like, taking advantage of kind of the vulnerability of right now. Mm. And so understanding what my role is, and I think that we were talking about it yesterday, but it feels like a lot of people don't really know their roles right now. They're not really clear on that. And so it feels like this huge collective of, think about, like, when a kid falls down and scrapes his knee. It just feels like a bunch of, like, airplane moms. Like, oh, let me help. Like, are you okay? Can right. I help? Can I help? Can I help? Can I help? And it's like, is that even your role right now? Like, maybe your role isn't to help right now. And I think that it comes back with being able to sit in the discomfort of other people, you know? It's like, a lot of times when we can't sit in the discomfort of ourselves and our inability to know our role, then we try to take on, you know, fill the space. And it's like, no, I think that right now there's supposed to be space, because I think that what the universe is saying to us, and it's been saying to us for years, it's just like new things are coming along. It's like, we need to feel this feeling. Like, this feeling.
Always, right?
This feeling has to be totally felt and, like, worked through. I think we had it when Trump got elected. I think everyone was trying to, like, spew a bunch of stuff then and not let the space exist. And it's like, no, I think the space is there so that things can be worked through. And I think that everyone just needs to remind themselves of what their role is.
So this is something that you brought up yesterday, and this might sound kind of triggering for some people. I hope you guys can hear us.
I think
that far away. Cool. So something that feels a little bit triggering for some people probably, but I would say, look, something I'm going to talk about a lot is contemplative leadership. I think that's what we need right now. I think we need less reaction. We need people that just survey the landscape. They find out how they can contribute. They look for the path forward, and then they go. And, like, the thing to understand is, like, I'll get ahead of myself. I want to go back to your point. Okay. So the thing you brought up yesterday, which is in line with what we're talking about at this moment, is one of the things that happens when people become aware of their privilege, right? So we'll use white privilege because I'm white and it's easy, right? And and it's dumb to deny that there's any level of privilege in your life, right? Like people, like when they hear, sometimes there's two reactions. The first one is that's not true, because you did have to work for your stuff, and you do, and you have, you've struggled just like every other human that's ever been born, because you have the human condition, right?
This situation is pointing out so much privilege in my life that I'm like, oh.
Totally, right? And so, but so one of the, that so that's the first reaction is sort of a denial, and that's okay. I get it. Life's hard and we all got to figure it out and we all had to work hard to get here. And that's, I think sometimes it feels like you're taking that away. The second reaction though is to feel like, oh no, like once you actually become aware of it, you're like, I got to do something about this. I have to make it right. And it's like, so your instant reaction is to leverage your privilege in order to fix it.
Yeah.
And we, in our culture, we're always told you've got to do more. You've got to, you know, there's always something that you can do about it. If you're not doing something, it's the wrong thing. And that's not, and I think what we're seeing right now, at least what I'm seeing, is that that's not always true.
That's what I'm feeling. Yeah, I think, like you said, I think a lot of times when we are aware of our privilege in times like these, the first thing that we want to do is help. But it's like, oh, like what about a month ago when we were still privileged and there are a line of like tents down the street of thousands of homeless people? Like where was our privilege then in wanting to help?
Right.
You know, it's like something triggered our realization of privilege. And it's like, no, that stuff always exists. Like, things have always existed like this. But now that it's, like, in the forefront of our awareness, it's like, oh, we have to fix it.
Mm.
We have to fix it. And I'm like, well, maybe not.
Totally. And one of the things that happens is we get really attached to good feelings, especially in our lives. Like, if things feel good, we get attached to them. Seasons where things are really working out, we get attached to them. We don't want them to end. And I think also what's being highlighted here, just for literally the global community is, or culture, whatever, however you want to call it, is this need to honor the season that you're in. Like when pain happens, listen, when pain happens, it always has a lesson buried in it. Always, right? You don't have to learn it though. The pain teacher is happy to just keep providing the lesson, and you will just keep getting the pain until you begin to ask yourself the right questions amidst that chaos. And if you're always reflective, if you're always reactive, you lose that ability to ask yourself the tough questions and then answer them from a place of center. And so I think what also is being highlighted right here in this time is the fact that we really just need to honor the season. It's like we are going through what you would consider to be a bit of a cultural trauma. Not everybody here is a fucking surgeon. Right? And so when you're going through this, maybe the thing that you can do is wait in the lobby for better news, because other people have spent their life studying how to deal with this stuff.
That's a beautiful metaphor. That's great.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's great. It's really great.
So I want to talk about another thing that I think is going to come up a lot in the next couple weeks. So right now, we're a little bit behind some of the other countries that are dealing with this. If you're watching in the United States right now, we're in Colorado. Colorado's one of the third. I feel like we definitely are gonna get it, because Colorado, it's like all around us right now. And yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine.
Got toilet paper today. It's great.
Right. So look, I think another thing that's gonna happen is we have turned love and we've turned beauty into commodities in our culture. And when that happens, validation becomes the currency, right? And so a lot of the things that people use to validate themselves are being taken right now. What you do during the day, like we tend to root our identities in what we do. My last book really is about the problems that arise from that. I feel like I'm lucky that I created my own epidemic in my life before going through the global one, because now I feel like I can watch it at distance, because I feel like I've kind of taught myself how to deal with times of adversity and uncertainty. I would love to talk about the fact that I think one of the things that's going to happen is people are going to experience great poverty over the next few weeks, and it's not going to have anything to do with the amount of money that they're making, because the reality is we're all going to struggle in that boat the same. And so the big corporation, like people you owe money to, like everybody is struggling at the same way right now. Nobody's going through this alone. And that's great to know too, because pain tends to make you feel like you're alone, right? But that's a complete lie. And we know, even though we're isolated, we're all going through this together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the reasons you're seeing an elevation in noise right now is because there are so many people that tend to get their validation from what they do between 9 and 5 or whatever they do during the day, and that's not going to happen anymore. And so now people are, they are wanting to be of service, right? And I think ultimately maybe it's rooted in a really good place, but I think we're seeing a lot of noise because the normal ways that our culture tends to validate ourselves, the things that are rewarded, all the accolades and achievements, all the marathons, all the jobs, like everything is being taken right now. And so now you're left to sit with the uncomfortable parts of yourself.
Totally. Well, I think that, kind of like you mentioned earlier, I think what our main responsibility is to drop that part of our identity right now, right? It's like, I'm not Danielle, the girl with 80,000 followers right now. That means absolutely nothing to me. It doesn't. Like, I always want to be there for people if they need anything, but I feel like my job right now isn't to be spewing bullshit in your eyeballs every morning.
Yeah.
You know, it's been really hard for me to, like, post. I do know that it helps some people and the people that have been following me for a long time. So I'm, like, being very kind of cautious about what I do post and not making it about this. But, yeah, I think dropping our identities and trying to, like, I guess, unhealthily cope. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Trying to, like, I don't know, maneuver our way into making that identity in something else that's also just as loud. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I mean, I think right now we all have that. If you wonder why this conversation is even coming up, I would say for me it's because I'm concerned with the highest good, right? Like, for me, that's the barrier. That's the metric to which I measure everything. Like, it's the thing that I'm doing in you know, in service to the highest good for basically all living creatures. That's my personal thing, right? And so I think, you know, there's a fine line between supporting your clients, supporting your following, supporting the people that are relying on your swim lane, like staying in your swim lane, and again, not adding to the problem.
Totally. I agree with that. And also, like, I was listening to this thing yesterday when this guy was talking about healing, not really, a lot of people misconstrue the word and mean that, like, think that healing means caring, right? And so, you know, he was talking about how that type of mentality when it comes to a cultural level, like cultural healing, meaning caring, sometimes that leads to cultural codependency. And I think that that's what we're seeing. And instead, healing can mean responsibility. And sometimes our responsibility is to kind of dive inwards, right?
Totally. I mean, we're all given a moment right now. Like, we're all going to sit with our shadows. There's no doubt about it. Whatever it is that, you know, you can, there's still plenty of forms of escapism available, right? Like, definitely. But if this goes on for months, like, you're going to kill yourself trying to escape. At some point, it feels like maybe you just sit with your shadows and you sit with why it is that you're not feeling validated as you sit on your couch or read a book or whatever it is, right? Because those are actually, whatever those little things that you're feeling, those little dissonance, that little feeling of unworthiness, whatever it is that you're sitting with, that's your path to a higher state of being. Like, that's the thing you want to follow.
Well, it's, you know, when we've kind of repressed those things, we have disassociated with those things. And so I think reconnecting with yourself personally right now would be the most valuable tool for the whole globe.
Yeah.
Honestly. Because it's like, oh, like, even yesterday, I was just feeling like this, like, really, like, I don't know, I felt my body didn't, I just didn't feel connected with my body. Like, my mind was a mess. I didn't know how to best serve my clients. I was just, yesterday was crazy. And we went outside and went on a run for 90 minutes. And I came back and I just felt 1,000 times better because I could get into my breath and I got into my body and I was breathing fresh air and just in nature and really not letting all of the things that take me away from my body take over. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing right now. It sounds kind of woo-woo. And
yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, you got to do something. So woo-woo or not, right? Like, I actually feel, listen, I think all you, everybody that's been nerding out over Stoic philosophy, reading The Obstacle is the Way, like all that bullshit for the last 5 years. It's not bullshit, but like everyone that's been doing that, this is your time to shine. Like, this is, you don't even got to look for the way. The obstacle's right in front of you. It's you and your inability to sit in your living room. And so right now we're given this invitation to embody some of these principles that we've been working through and talking about for a long time. And if you haven't been in that world, well, you follow me, so you've at least heard it if you're watching this, right? Okay, so we got a couple of questions I wanted to talk about. So first one is, how does a person fight the voice in their head saying either it's me or them? And that's, so actually before we
take
get
that one.
What's that?
You can take that one first.
Okay, so yeah, like right now I think, listen, I've spent my life teaching people how to cope with adversity. I was a BUDS instructor. Like, this is what I've done. This is what the job as a chief growth operator for the Special Forces experience. The job that I do is honestly looking at people in their most difficult times and figuring out how do you turn that most difficult time into a springboard for growth instead of letting it be something that haunts the rest of your life. And so right now you're being asked a question. Now, if you're very reflective, it'll be very hard to come to an answer because you feel like you're always got to do, like we've been talking about this whole time. So this does require that you stop and pause for a minute. But you have the ability to ask yourself who you want to be in this moment. And when you ask yourself who you want to be, that is, it'll give you a moral imperative on how you want to act, right? And so you can see that there's a disparity that's existing between the subjective reality and an objective reality. So an objective reality is what's happening right now. This is what we can objectively measure. This is the natural world. This is the virus, right?
Yeah.
The subjective world is the lens you're looking through at what's actually happening. And your subjective world can make your life way worse or way better, right? And over the course of your life, as you age, if things are getting harder and you're becoming more cynical and your life is getting worse, it's because the lens that you're looking at as objective reality through is fucked. And so if you, and so, okay. And so like when you, the toilet paper thing that went down, perfect example. Everybody lives in scarcity. What happens when everybody lives in scarcity? There's nothing left for anybody, right? Everybody took. Now, the reverse of that, so, because I'll talk about abundance and people say, like, even my question when people started talking to me about living in an abundant world, having your subjective reality be one that believes that there's actually enough for everybody involved and that the earth can serve everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so people say, well, that's just not true, right? Like, it actually is what you believe, and we're seeing that what you believe is actually going to denote the way that your objective reality plays out. Because if this epidemic hasn't caused a lot of supply chain problems, except for from China and stuff, but like getting groceries.
Toilet paper this morning,
right?
At the grocery store.
Totally.
Tons.
All the grocery store people basically came out, went to the president, and they were like, hey, just stop buying everything. Like, we don't have a problem getting anything to you. Stop fucking buying everything. And so you can see that as we live, as our subjective reality, if we choose to live in scarcity, if we choose to live in separatism from each other, then that's the world we get. We are authoring our world with our actions and with our thoughts, and now we're getting to see just what that looks like in real time. Whereas the flip side is, if we looked at the objective reality, which is there is a virus that is spreading rather quickly, and it's something that we have to take massive action against to dampen, right? That's the objective reality. The subjective reality is whatever you thought you had to do that's not that, right? Yeah. And so you can see, did it help or did it hurt the world? And so what I would say is, how does a person fight the voice in their head saying either it's me or them? I think you ask yourself what kind of world it is that you want to live in. What is the world that you're looking to author with your time?
Yeah.
So let's break down quickly before we get to the other question. What is the difference between isolation and
solitude? So,
because you're getting one or the other. Right now.
The questions?
No, isolation or solitude for the world.
So, yeah. So in this quarantine state, you can either view it as isolation or you can view it as solitude. And so basically when you go into isolation, the what you're looking to do.
Disconnecting. Sorry, I think we're still going.
So when you go into isolation, the intention of isolation is to disconnect from everything. When you go into solitude, the intention is to connect with something, whether it's you, whether it's spirit, whether it's somebody else that you're in solitude with. Think about going out into the woods. If you're in solitude out in the woods and your intention is to reconnect to nature, right?
Right.
And so that's the difference between isolation and solitude. So a lot of times when we're in trauma or traumatic situations, we psychologically isolate ourselves to
disassociate.
Yeah, another coping mechanism to deal with the pain, the fear, the anxiety, all of those things. We isolate ourselves, and in that isolation, it makes us feel very alone, right? But when you're in solitude, I've found personally, especially the last couple weeks, is like, oh, that's actually that's the key. You can reconnect with spirit, soul, God, whatever you want to call it, and feel very full.
Yeah, and so that's another option that we're being given right now. It's like, what? Because you are, you know, it's kind of the difference between when you're in a difficult time, do you fold inward, right? And just block everything out, disassociate from the trauma, or do you go inward, find what's in yourself that's larger than the problem that you're currently dealing with? And I think if you do that in this moment, what you'll find is a desire to do what's right by the collective, it feels like. So for your definition then, so solitude is with yourself in connection to something else.
Yes.
And then isolation is by yourself disconnected from.
Yes.
Okay. And so the problem is right now is we have this thing that's squawking in loud voices from the media, and this is what people are connecting to in their times of being, you know, self-quarantined and isolated from the world.
Right. And so again, coming back to the physiology of that, right? So every time you're taking in all of that intense, very sympathetically triggering stuff, it's like, no, you're not alone, but it's going to basically dampen your nervous system is going to like be depressed, and you'll actually feel the isolation as opposed to, we watched a show last night, but like for the most part, it's just been like light music and just us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking this time to reconnect with wisdom. Like that to me feels like what we need right now. Like we don't need more hyperbole. We don't need more loud voices. And you can think of wisdom as, you know, I gave a talk for the Born to Heal course, and we talked about like love, truth, and God, and how the interplay of those things. And you know, for me, truth is, it's at the bottom of reality. It's like, if you could distill everything down, there's an essential truth at the bottom of reality. And I think what wisdom is the echo of that truth throughout time, right? Throughout time and space. And so if wisdom is relevant then, because it's truth, because it's based on truth, it's relevant now. Now, you can read, oh damn, it ended.
Shoot.
All right, so for you guys that are listening, we will just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
wisdom and truth.
Yeah, so wisdom is this echo of truth, right? And so it is eternally relevant, and right now is a perfect time to dive into that. Like, that's what I found. And you might have to filter out personality and culture and stuff. Like, if you like use the Bible for wisdom, you're going to get all kinds of culture and personality that's not yours, and so it might feel like it's not truth. Your job is to sift through for truth within wisdom and make it culturally and relevant.
So what do you feel like right now is maybe some truth that's gleaming out? Because a lot of, you know, like a lot of the infectious disease, people are saying things that are facts, right? That are, yes, they are true from a scientific perspective, but at a spiritual level, like, we're back, guys. At a spiritual level, what do you think is true or truth right now? because, like I said, the TV is telling us, the people in high level infectious disease and stuff are telling us facts, but facts are different than truth. And so what do you think?
Yeah, so if you really start diving into truth, you have to start delineating between what even a fact is and stuff, and that's where you can get really stuck up, like caught on. But what's becoming relevant and available, and to me right now, what I'm starting to reflect on is how just spiritually impoverished we are. Like, that's what I think this is highlighting for us. This is what it's giving us an opportunity to fix. Look, like I said, the pain teacher is happy to just keep coming and delivering the lessons, and you are not obligated to learn them. You can just keep taking the pain and then you can live that way. But I think right now what the pain teacher is bringing to us is the wherewithal, the knowledge that we have been living in a way that is spiritually impoverished. We are living in spiritual poverty. And like you said, what solitude is the ability to be with yourself, not by yourself, and be connected to something that is bigger. Now, I don't think it matters what that is, right? But that connection is being highlighted, or that lack of connection, that disconnection is being highlighted right now. And the reason it is because we have such a hard time shutting the hell up and just being with ourselves. And I think that's why you're seeing the noise rise as more tumultuous times start to create. The noise is rising, and I think it's highlighting our spiritual poverty. And you don't have to necessarily find God or anything in like those lines, but to not deny that part of essential human nature. I know that I went through a time where I realized that's what I was missing in my life, was spiritual connection to something. And I'm so glad that I reclaimed that, because now I'm like in this amazing rhythm of training, reading, and writing. And I'm just sort of, I don't know. It's like I told you, like when all this starts going down, I start getting excited. And it's not because of suffering. It's not because I'm happy that the world is suffering. That sucks. But it's just because like there's a part of me that knows like this is why we do what we do, you know?
Well, I think that...
So that we can survive the unknowable.
Well, I think that brings everything full circle about what we started off in talking about cultural association. It's like it's knowing you're part of the whole. It's like being connected to your part of the whole. And that's what spirituality is. It's knowing that you are connected to something bigger than you. And that's exactly what, you know, this cultural embodiment, you could call it, you know. It's like knowing the role that you play, how you can play that role, and being connected to that, and always keeping that in sight. You know, it's like, I don't know, I feel like with this, it's... I feel like I'm one of the most empathetic people. Like, I really do feel for a lot of people. And it's hard for me sometimes, because I have a lot of faith that everything is going to be okay. You know, it's not going to be, I'm not a forever thinker. And when I do, I feel terrible.
That's one of the lies hidden in pain.
Right.
This will never pass. Like, this is how it's always going to be.
Yeah. And I think that what's kind of helped me stay... objective and play my role of what I feel like it is staying connected and having faith that everything's going to be okay. And it's like, oh, well, maybe people might say that's naive, or you should be doing something else. And it's like, well, anytime that you put yourself in a should, it's like you're disconnecting from yourself.
Totally. And look, I mean, it's not naive, because feeling broken is just as impermanent as feeling whole.
Totally.
You know, like we are living through, we talked about wisdom earlier, we are living through the cycles of death and rebirth throughout our lives. And so things are collapsing into itself and coming back out as something new. And that's, whether you resist it or not, doesn't matter. But I do think that you have the option to jump into flow with all of the things, with this world that's unfolding. And to me right now, at least just for me, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but it doesn't feel like the time for opportunism. It feels like the time to let go of my need for ego to be identified in some way, and just totally. Just help the fucking world get through this. Like, just be.
Period.
Yeah, just play your role.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, you know, you and I were talking, and it's like, trying to say what this is, and we're like, oh, it just is.
Totally.
It just is. It's part of history. You know, right. It's part of our history that we're actually experiencing right now. And it's nothing more than that. It just is.
Right.
It's a speck on the timeline of all humanity.
Right? And what I would say at home, too, is like, if you, you know, listening to this or watching, if you care about the highest good being a measure of sort of justice and equity that's served for all living creatures, if you, you know, like you and me and Daniel, like we all deserve the same opportunities, the same chance at just contributing to the highest good. Let's use that as the litmus for what this is. You can look back through history and you can see people that were on the wrong side of the highest good, right? That's pretty easy to see. Like, you know, Nazi Germany fucked it up, wrong side, right? The South in the U.S., wrong side, fucked it up, right? And so you can just see these things. And so, like, the people hoarding toilet paper and living out of scarcity, most likely you're going to look back and be like, oh, okay, they were on the wrong side, right?
Totally.
I guess the way that I want to wrap this up is just by saying, like, we're being shown a lot right now. Like, we're being shown a lot of things. Like, I talked about the difference, the disparity that exists between your objective and subjective reality. The lens that you're looking through matters, and it doesn't just matter to you. It matters to everybody. You know, the few that decided to look through their subjective reality and live in scarcity, they affected all of us, right? And so if that was you, that's okay. But I'm just saying, like, take this moment to take a step back and just ask if the way that you are living is the way that you want to live. Like, if you want to look back and see who you were in this moment, then you have to ask yourself who you want to be in this moment. And I think that that is just such a, your internal guide is the one that's going to allow you to turn this opportunity into growth. But you got to learn to listen to it.
Yeah, and I think that we can wrap up by talking about, like, what I was telling you yesterday about, you know, like, what a coach's role is, because we both kind of, you're like a thought leader, right? And so you're kind of like trying.
I have some thoughts.
Yeah. And, you know, when you think about your role as a coach, like, my role as a coach is not to tell people what to do and to do it. You know, it's like, it's really to mirror back, like, kind of some error points that they're telling me and, like, let them fold inwards and help them change their own life, right? And so I feel like right now that's reflective in the whole culture.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, if you were a coach, you wouldn't tell somebody, like, do this, I'm going to do it for you. You know, like, you would never do that. It's like, you have to empower yourself to do your role. And I think that that is folding inwards and doing your part.
Yeah, and that empowers and gives people permission to play their role.
Totally.
Like, once we realize, like, this game of needing to be the loudest, needing to be the most opportunistic, needing to be the whatever it is, however it is that you validate yourself, once we realize that this game isn't sustainable, it's kind of like the opposition. Like, you know, we spend so much time the last few thousand years fighting each other and spending shitloads of money fighting each other, right, and time, and people dedicate their whole life to it, and then we realize, like, as soon as we have a common enemy, it's like, man, I kind of wish we had more money going into the infectious people, right, like fighting the thing that could kill us all. And so I think what we're what's being highlighted for us is that the way that we're living our lives, just it's not completely sustainable, and, like, sort of small course corrections have to exist if we're going to make this a world that works for everybody.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, wrapping up, I don't think that you have to be anything right now.
No, you just gotta be.
It's very simple, but that won't, I guess it won't, like, sound as great as all the things that people are spewing out there, but, like, just be and know that it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So. And I think that is the, the recipe for moving through difficult times, right?
Well, I wrote an email last night to the people that had signed up for my thing, and I just said that, you know, the way that humans adapt is a really beautiful thing if you think about it. And, like, that's why I'm trying to, like, bring out the positives of this. It's like, oh, well, you didn't know that you could do this until now. And it's like watching yourself adapt and move around the situation. shows you how strong you are. And it's like, you don't have to like stand up and be something greater than you are. Yeah. Just adapt to where you're at. And yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Yeah. We'll be right back.